feature is a lovely Christmassy trip down memory lane by the writer Keith Skipper. Keith's words are read by Tim Peters.
As memory's fire crackles and we prepare to hang up stockings of hope, no matter how many darn holes have been added since last time, I hear a host of rich voices, many proud local ones among them, calling me through diaries, letters and books spanning well over 500 years. Our clergy are exceptionally busy at this time of year. Happily, two outstanding men of the cloth found time to light up the pages of Norfolk history with plenty of Christmas entries in their celebrated diaries. Parson James Woodford lived at Weston Longville from 1776 until his death on New Year's Day in 1803. His first Christmas in Norfolk was marked by a shilling apiece and a good meal for the poor of the parish. He writes, "Gave old Richard Bates an old black coat and waistcoat. I had a fine sirloin of beef roasted and plum puddings. Very dark in church this afternoon, I could scarce see. It was a chilly Christmas day in 1874 for the Reverend Benjamin Armstrong, vicar of East Dereham, who wrote, "The thermometer being 15 degrees below freezing point, many were kept away from church through the cold. Several sudden deaths owing to severity of the weather. The bell tolls every day in the fog." Henry Ryder Haggard and daughter Lilias formed one of the most prolific family forces in local literary history. Henry had peered down King Solomon's Mines and listened to She Who Must Be Obeyed before he became a gentleman farmer in his native county. In 1898, he compiled the book A Farmer's Year as he worked land in Beddingham and Dishingham. His Christmas Day record included this entry. "In the afternoon, I went to hear some carol singing in the neighbouring church at Broome. Afterwards, a friend of mine, who lives there, gave me some curious facts illustrative of the decrease of population of the parish. It's his habit to make a present of meat at Christmas to every cottage inhabitant of Broome, and he informed me that the difference in its cost, owing to the shrinkage of population between this year and last, is something really remarkable." This drift from the land underlined crises in the farming industry, and there could be no hiding from grim realities even on Christmas Day. On Christmas Eve 1939, Lilias Ryder Haggard penned this poignant passage in her Norfolk notebook after watching people on Norwich Market buying bunches of buried holly and little Christmas trees. "Well," said a stout and homely housewife, tucking her awkward and prickly burden under her arm, "there's only one child at home this Christmas, and the Lord knows when I'll get the others back again. But I says to the old man, we'll have the tree and all, and if there's not much to hang on it, we'll have to do with hope for a trimming. They're like to think of us, just as usual." 10 years later, Jonathan Mardle wrote in the EDP, "It's hard now to remember the first Christmas in the war, when the shops were still filled with a peacetime stock and lit with peacetime extravagance. At the hour of blackout, the whole illumination was extinguished, as if the curtains had suddenly dropped on the transformation scene in a pantomime. The house lights were put out, and the audience was left to grope its way home in the darkness." And after nearly 2 years of the pandemic, Keith ends with a diary entry I think we can all relate to. It's from Elizabeth Harland, who wrote The Diary of a Country Housewife, and this is her entry for Christmas Day 1950. "In the endless struggle to keep alive, we've far too little time for the things that really matter. But at this season, whatever our private preoccupations, however black and cloud-banked the international sky, we know a blessed relaxation. Work can wait, worries be postponed, quarrels forgotten. Today belongs to peace, to joy and kindliness, to goodwill and giving. Indeed.
Thanks, Tim.